Well, with that in mind, we'll just go right to the teaching tonight, if that's all right with you. And by the way, live stream folks, we're glad that you're here. Now, we don't charge any extra for coming on Wednesday nights. So if you ever want to come on Wednesday night, we promise only to charge you the regular fee, which is not anything. We'd love to have you come and be a part of our service on Sunday or Wednesday and be glad to have you. So here's what we're going to do. This is something that a gentleman many years ago, he drew this, I think about 1916. So when you receive this, you'll understand that this was, Steve, I'm handing out one of Clarence Larkin's. You might have somebody who can help you with that. But Clarence Larkin was a draftsman. How many of you know about Clarence Larkin's drawings? Oh, he got saved. You're a young man. He got saved, and he was a draftsman by trade. And he was, I forget what denomination he was in, but realized what they're teaching is not in the Word of God. It's not consistent with what I'm seeing in the Bible, according to dispensations and those things. I guess I could have got somebody to help me with this. Would you mind, brother? Thank you. You're really kind of sitting over there waiting on me to think of it. That should be more than enough. Let's see, everyone there has one. And so he began drawing charts of, and this is just one of about probably, I don't know, 40 or 50 charts. Did anyone not get one? Oh, you didn't get it back in the back. And I need to turn my mic on, I see. All right, yeah, that's a big lollipop back there. All right. Thank you.
There you are. Yeah, there you are.
Now you'll see, thank you, Brother Allen, appreciate it. You'll see that there's a lot of detail on here, so don't get real worried about it. But this is really an overview of the book of Daniel. And we're going to look at that here in just a minute, and I'll get mine out. I've kept a larger copy so that I can see it a little bit better. But and we'll kind of, hopefully we'll get to the chart tonight, but you might want to just, if we don't, just fold it up and put it in your Bible and bring it back with you, because as we go through the book of Daniel, you'll notice to the left, you'll see chapter 1, the personal history of Daniel. Chapter number 2, Colossus and Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Chapter 3, the golden image. Chapter 4, the tree, the vision, talking about Nebuchadnezzar and how large his domain was, his empire. Chapter 5 talks about Daniel. Chapter 6, the lion's den with, of course, Jonah, right? Just checking to see. Everybody's too busy looking at the chart. That was not Jonah, all right, in the lion's den. We know it was Lazarus. Okay, no, it's Daniel. All right, so we have that, and we have this vision that you see in chapter 8, and you have the ram and the goat, and the goat's going to overtake the ram and has so forth. We'll talk about that when we get to it. Chapter number 9, you have Daniel's vision of the 70 weeks. We talked about that just a tad last Wednesday night. Then in chapter 10, Daniel's vision of Christ. Chapter 11, Daniel's vision of the willful king, the Antichrist. And then chapter number 13, you have Daniel's vision of the end time. So here you have Daniel. Now, Daniel's prophecies will run alongside Jeremiah and Ezekiel, Revelation, Matthew chapter 24. And so we'll say more about that. We did a little bit last time. But you'll notice, and again, we'll look at the chart as time gets to it. But below it, it goes into a lot more detail about the various empires, the Babylonian, and goes on from there. Better not lose that. So what I'd like to do tonight, last time we gave some preliminary information, and I mentioned last time that when we start tonight, we're going to find out, maybe you did some research on it so you already know the answers, but the various names, and I'm going to get mine right here where I can see them, All right, without looking at your notes now, no fair cheating, all right? You got it. I see some of you smiling like, I already know it. All right, well, good. I hope you do. All right, so if I was to name the name, let's see. Let's start with Shadrach. Which of the Hebrew names? Now you have Belteshazzar, you have Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. All right. So you have Daniel, Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael. All right. So if I was to say Shadrach, which one did that refer to? Mishael? What do you think? How many go for Mishael? One? Two. All right. All right. Shadrach? All right. Let's go on to, I won't say who they are until we find out. If I was to say Abednego. Now, none of them are like I said last time, your shack, my shack, and a bungalow, all right? Those didn't count, all right? So if I was to say, who'd I say? Abednego, who would that be? Azariah, she's got it, all right? So she's 1-0, all right, very good. All right, if we were to say Meshach, who would that be? Meshach, who would that be? Mishael, right. Okay, is that what you said? Okay, Mishael, all right. And therefore, if I said Shadrach, who would that be? There's only two left. Hananiah, all right. And so if we were to say Belteshazzar, who would that be? Daniel, all right. So here you have Daniel, Belteshazzar. You have Hananiah, that would be Shadrach, right? Yeah, Shadrach. You have Ananiah, which would be Abednego, and then you have, who did I leave out? Mishael, which would be? Meshach. I think I, did I miss him? I may have messed it up.
Azariah,
what did I say?
Ananiah.
No, it's not Ananiah, it's Azariah. Thank you, Michelle. All right, so those are the three. Now, Belteshazzar, that's Daniel's name, given to him by Nebuchadnezzar. All right, so Belteshazzar, did I give you what it meant last time? It means Bel's prince. And it means, Daniel means God will be my judge, or God will be the judge. Did I give all that out last time? I don't think I did I? Okay, so Daniel's name, the Hebrew, Daniel's name means either God will be my judge, or someone else translated as God is my judge. Okay? Hananiah, that's the Hebrew name, means beloved of the Lord. Beloved of the Lord. What a good name to have. Azariah means the Lord is my help. The Lord is my help. And then Mishael is a little different. When I first saw it and studied it, I thought, well, that's odd. It says, who is God? And I took it as being a question, an interrogative. Who is God? But when I was looking at, Mishael, his Babylonian name was Meshach, and Meshach means who is Venus. So as they were worshiping, the worship would probably come out like this: who is like unto Venus? Or who is like unto Jehovah? Who is like unto God? And I think that's probably the way that name is. And so I mentioned last time that these were probably all of royal blood. And according to Hebrew history, the three of the four, Daniel was probably about 19 years old. And also the three Hebrew children were probably anywhere from 14 to 17, as best as they can get the ages down. Now, they can pretty well pinpoint where Daniel was and the year he was born, and we'll look at that maybe a little tonight. Now, tonight's going to be a little bit more of just sit back. Unless you want to take notes, you're more than welcome to, but I'm just going to kind of go from one point to another, to another, to another, just to kind of get a background so that when we're reading chapter 1, that really is the historical and what's going on. You know, it's starting where Daniel starts with his Babylonian captivity. So it starts there, and it's in the third year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, and so, or of Jehoiakim's reign, sorry about that, in the third year. So here you have Jehoiakim, but then Babylon comes in. We'll give the history of that here in just a moment. But Babylon's going to come in, and Nebuchadnezzar's going to come in, and in the first siege, there were three sieges, and we'll give the years for that and all of that, so that when you see the chart in front of you, it also has those the numbers on the charts. Now, they may differ just a tad, especially as you get into the Greco-Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, and then the Greco-Roman Empire, and the division of the empires, and the Western and the Eastern, and all of that, with the legs of iron and clay, and the feet of clay and iron. So when you get into that, the numbers differ just a tad, I think, from what I've studied and what's on the chart. So, but they're relatively close, so we'll see as we get to it. Okay, so let me just kind of go back over it again. And I appreciate you're allowing me to study it again, because it is thrilling my heart to dig into it. And it's not a light study. You got to wade into it to really to see all the history of it. But when you see the history of it, and then you realize, well, he's given the history of Daniel because Daniel has a history that is right along with Josiah, right along with Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And then as he's finished with Daniel, what happens right after Daniel? Okay, Ezekiel, Daniel, and what's the very next one? Hosea, isn't it? So when Daniel's prophecy, he's the last of the major prophets. Major simply means the longer of the Old Testament prophetic books. You have Isaiah, a long one, Jeremiah, a long one, Ezekiel, a long one, Daniel, a long one, and their ministry covered, for example, Josiah. Josiah is the only prophet, as far as we know, as far as I remember, Josiah is the only prophet that didn't have something negative said about him from the Word of God. He was declared, according to the biblical journal of him, that everything he did was biblical. It was honoring to God. There was one, the only thing that he did that was questionable is when he went to war against Egypt. And that's where he died. And even the king of Egypt saw Josiah and he said, "What are you doing here? You shouldn't be in this battle." Josiah thought that Egypt was going to conquer, and I can't remember the name of the country they were trying to conquer. Does anyone remember right off? Okay, but there was another country they were trying to conquer, and Josiah thought, all right, they're going to dispose of them, and then they're going to come on Israel. And so Josiah thought, I'm going to get in there before they come after us, and we'll be strong when we go after them. And so the king, when he saw Josiah and the troops, he said, go home. This is not about you. I have no fight with you. You're fine. You go home and just be at home, basically is what he said. And Josiah just stayed after it. And so the Bible says an archer shot an arrow and it took Josiah's life. But it says in Hebrew history that Josiah's ministry lasted 70 years from beginning to end and was greatly used of the Lord. I better stick to my notes. I think that may have been, that was Daniel. It was 70 years. Josiah's was, I forgot now. I have to look and see. But anyway, let me give you the notes as we go through it, okay? So let me give you what Lehman Strauss, have you heard of Lehman Strauss? Some of you? Yeah. Okay, good. This is what Lehman Strauss said was the theme or the purpose for the book of Daniel. He wrote, this is word for word from Lehman Strauss. He said, the purpose of the book of Daniel is to show how God, by his providence and power, controls and directs the history of nations. Now, when you're thinking about the prophecies, now you think about Ezekiel and Daniel and Jeremiah and Matthew, and when you're thinking about all of these nations, the different empires, because you're going to see on the chart that you have tonight, it talks about the Babylonian Empire, talks about the Medo-Persian Empire, talks about the Grecian Empire, talks about the Roman Empire. All four of these are prophesied in the book of Daniel. I mean, right away, they're boom, in there very quickly. And so it's all four of those. And so as we look at that and we think about, wait a minute, God is the God of all of these nations and he's working all things in this particular setting to judge his people because they set aside, as we talked last time, the Sabbaths of the land. Every 7 years they were to set aside their land. Now they had a Sabbath every week where they would set aside the work week and the Sabbath would be our Saturday. And they were required to worship the Lord. Well, God said at the same time, and your fields, every seventh year is to be the Sabbath, is to be set aside. And the children of Israel went 490 years, as we've talked about, and had a better plan. Well, God, there are no better plans than God's plan. Amen? No matter what he's doing in your life, there's no better plan than God's plan. All right, so let me just kind of run through these. And if you want to just relax and listen, I'll just run through them real quickly. It's just the order I put them in. And it's simply this. The third year of Jehoiakim's reign was 606 B.C. And these are all pretty well defined in not only Hebrew history, but in secular history as well. So the third year of Jehoiakim's reign was 606. And you see in verse number 1 of Daniel, he talks about in the third year of Jehoiakim. Okay? And that was 606. In the line of Judah's kings, that is in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. So Jehoiakim was in the line of Judah's kings. Number two in my lineage of it, number two is the partial captivity that you see in Daniel chapter 2. Now, there's going to be two other captivities. The first one is the Babylonian captivity where... Well, they are all Babylonian, but the first one is the one that you see early in Daniel where they don't destroy anything. They just take back the children of Israel and to Babylon, okay? And that began the 70 years. Then according to chapter 2 and chapter 36, the earlier kings of Manasseh, they were the primary cause for the partial captivity of the Israel Jews by Nebuchadnezzar. And not only that the setting aside, but it was just wicked. You think of Manasseh. Manasseh was awful. Josiah's son actually was bad. He didn't follow the ways of his dad. And so as you look back, those were difficult, difficult times, all right? So Daniel was approximately 19 years old, and that was he was born about 625. About 625, he was born, and according to history, that was the date of the founding, or the year of the founding of the Babylonian Empire. So the Babylonian Empire had been in for some time, and then before it was taken over in 606. So about 19 years or so, something like that. All right, so you have that. And then I mentioned Daniel was 19 years old, and that started. Number five in my record here is, and this is according to another writer of the time, and I enjoy reading him, is W.C. Stevens. Daniel at 19 was taken back to Babylon. And so if you go back in his birth, if you go backwards in his birth, it was in the 15th year of Josiah's reign. Now, I'm going to talk about that for just a moment, okay? So let me mention that again. Daniel was about 19 years old, okay? Let's get that figure down. About 19 years old. Okay, if you trace it back, boom, 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 15 years, it was in the, let's see here. It was in the 15th year, excuse me, you trace it back, yes, his birth at whatever it was I mentioned. Thank you. You trace it back 15 years, and it was the 15th year of Josiah's. I'll get it out here in a second. I'll just stop reading and just do it. But it was in Josiah's 15th year. So here's my point. You trace it back Daniel was 19 years old. You take that back to when Josiah started his reign, and his reign was, he'd been going 15 years when Daniel was 19 years old. Okay, now think with me. Was Josiah living and prophesying and all during the time before Nebuchadnezzar took over Israel? Yes or no? Yes. I've complicated. I apologize for that. Let me go a little slower. All right, so here you have Josiah, a great prophet. He's the one that I said there's nothing bad about him, except the only thing negative is he just assumed this was God's will. The king tried to talk him out of it. So here you have Josiah. The only bad thing he did was to get killed in a war that maybe he shouldn't have been fighting. But as far as his morals, as far as his stand for God, as far as, I mean, just everything. It is said of Josiah that in the second year of his reign, he spent the next, and I've got it in my notes, but I don't remember, he spent the next 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 years, but it was several years, tearing down all of the altars, tearing down all of the groves where the people of Israel went to worship the idols, the false idols. They'd go to the high places, to the groves, where they could worship with the trees and in the mountains and all of that, kind of like Black Mountain is where a lot of the black magic and the sorcerers and witchcraft and all of that takes place in Black Mountain. If you're not aware of that, it's well known for that. At least around Asheville it is. So the point I'm trying to say is this, that here you have Josiah, and here's what I'm trying to get across. I've wondered for a long time, because it doesn't say it in Daniel. It doesn't really say, well, now here is how Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, here's how they knew to take the stand. It doesn't say anything about them having the books of the law. It doesn't say anything about it. It doesn't say anything about, you know, his dad and his mom, and their dads and moms were godly men and women that just reared them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It doesn't say that. But when you stop and think, when Daniel was taken captive, but if you go back and you remember he was 19 years old, you go back 15 years, okay? So 15 years back he was born, but then up to when he was 10 years old, he was still there. When he was 12 years old, he was still in Israel. When he was 15 years old, he was still in Israel. When he was 18 years old, if the numbers are right, and they seem to be, what does that mean? That means Josiah was reigning and reigning righteously. And he wasn't passive when it came to false idols and idol worship and all that went on in the groves and everything that Israel had given themselves to. And it's speculation. The Bible doesn't say so. But it helps me to just stop and think, wait a minute, here's a young guy who grew up with the influence of Josiah as the king. And evidently, Josiah and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, whether they knew each other before the captivity or not, I don't know. That's believed that they were all of royal blood, so it might be that they knew each other. I don't know. But one thing is sure, that even 3 years into, as the king, when he first saw them and brought them in, and he said to the man that was in charge of them, give them of the king's meat, give them of the wine. And immediately, what did they do? Help me out. What was their response? Oh, yes, steak every night. And probably, you know, it's just going to be great. This is wonderful. Is that what they did? Help me out. Yes or no? No. What did they do? That's a refutation. What did they do, Brother Jesse?
They requested something different.
Yes, sir. Basically pulse, or I think pulse has the idea of fruit, okay? Of those things, yes, ma'am?
I think it might be beans.
Is it beans? Okay. All right, well, that's fruit. I don't know, it's not fruit. All right, it might be, I don't know. But anyway, here's the point, is that here's young men from the very first of their captivity. Now, if truly Daniel was 19, when he was 18, he didn't have to do that. When he was 17, he didn't have to do that. When he was 13, he didn't have to do that. He was just doing what was right. And he had as the man who probably he admired, I would imagine, because from the very first they said, wait a minute, we're not going to defile ourselves with a portion of the king's meat. Because they were following the Abrahamic law, the Mosaic law, and just exactly what God had commanded. And it's always kind of just been a question on my mind because of the absence of that without knowing the history. Well, how did they know what to do? Were they schooled in the law? How did they know? And they probably were. But they had someone who was their champion. Now, probably none in here are going to be the kings of Israel. Probably none in here are going to be, someone that the king is going to say, you're second in command to everyone, and he puts the three Hebrew children in charge of a lot of things. Probably not. But you know what? There's probably someone, maybe they're a youngster, maybe someone not so young, that's watching your testimony to seeing they know what the Bible says about this and about that, about the other. And those legalists, those fundamental Christians that are, they don't do this and they do that, and they don't do this and they do that, just because they think the Bible says that, and they watch you. But then they begin to watch others around you who claim to know the Lord as their Savior, and yet they'll let words slide or slip by that maybe shouldn't be said, or they'll watch them looking at things they shouldn't be looking at, or watch them, whatever it is. And you've decided not to eat a portion of the king's meat. Those Babylonian-type things, if we could put it that way, that would rob you of your walk with the Lord and rob you of your testimony. And I'm just reminded in my own heart and life, here's these three young people, teenagers most likely, that from the very first, now if you look at the last of the chapter, if you're there, let's go to chapter 1, and we got to quit here just in a little bit. And I'm not there, so I got to hurry up and get there. Ezekiel, Daniel. If you look at the last, and I'm still not there. Getting there, chapter 4, 3, 2, I'm getting there. All right, there we go. Look, if you will, at verse number 21. And Daniel continued even until the first year of King Cyrus. And it was Daniel whose ministry lasted for 70 years. But as you look at that, here we go. Verse 18 is what I was looking for. Notice what it says. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in so he could see if indeed they were everything he wanted them to be. Now, if you'll go back to look at verse number 5. And the king appointed, this is when they first got there, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So you have a 3-year lapse of time between verse number 5 and verse number 18 when it says, now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in. You know what that means? That means for 3 years, when they could have had ribeye, they could have had New York strip, they could have had whatever was the best of the best in all of the Babylonian empire, meat and beverage. And yet they determined not to defile themselves with the king's meat. You and I have the privilege of choosing to obey the Lord. Not because we want to be strict, not because we're better than anyone else, not because the only reason my sister Michelle and Brother Alan and the Simmons back there and my sweetheart back there and Brother Steve up here and Ms. Greenwood and just all over, the reason we're doing what we're doing, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but the reason we're doing what we're doing, whether it's positive or negative, we do it or we don't, based on the Word of God, is because we want to please the Lord. Is that right? Amen or no? Yeah. Same thing with Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. And so the question I would ask of you tonight, who are your heroes or heroines? Who are the ones that you really look up to as far as just kind of a role model? Just a role model. Who is it? Doesn't matter if it's male or female, but ask yourself how consistent, how dedicated is their walk with the Lord? Is it easy for them to make excuses? Well, I will except for here. Or I really, that's not who I am. That's not my personality. And so, or I can do it and whatever and never have a problem. You and I who know the Lord as our Savior, we have the joy of just knowing, as Lehman Strauss said, that the real plan, the real purpose for the book of Daniel is to really show the sovereignty of God and how he can take even nations and with kings like Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar or Cyrus or Darius forget who it is with the Medes. Darius is the Medes, but with the Persians. But who is it? Cyrus?
I think Cyrus was Persian. Darius.
And Darius, there we go, is the Medes. So as you and I think about tonight, God is the God of all of that. And as you and I think about, you know what, I'm just going to dare to trust God. If God says to do something, I'm going to do it. May not know how, may not understand it, but I'm just going to do it. Like those four young people did, and they did it for 3 years without any evidence that it was going to pay off. In fact, they did it with the risk of the king and the individual saying, no, your faces aren't as fat as the others. And your countenance is really, I mean, you have bags under your eyes and you got whatever going on here. Nope. And they would have had to have eaten the king's meat according to what Daniel told them. But they dared to trust God. Just dared to trust God and do what was right. And I know that's what you want to do as well. All right. Well, we'll finish with the history probably pretty quickly next time. And we'll get right into the study of chapter 1. And we'll look at the chart. And we'll start making our way through the various chapters. Now, we've already gone through some of chapter 1. So we'll scoot from there. All right. Well, thank you for being here tonight. And I'll scoot down and have prayer with the young people. And I know getting the history, and one thing I'm going to do, let me just tweak your brains. What is the fourth world empire going to be? Anybody want to take a guess? So you had Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Grecian, Roman, Persian and Medo-Persian, one and the same. But you had Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Grecian, Roman. What do you think will be the last empire? Have you studied that at all? Most people will say that it's the revived Roman Empire. The revived Roman Empire. However, I'm going to tweak your brains with it and just tweak your appetite with it. I knew a gentleman named Brother Gerganus. He was a missionary for many, many years over in that region of the world with Muslims and all of that. And he's with the Lord now, I think. He would be upset with me if he knew that I don't know. But a great, great, great man. I got to know him in his elderly years, and he walked like this, and he in his 90s, still teaching, still preaching, and he's convinced that it will be the Islams, because he sees where the Roman Empire does not meet the biblical text as to who all's going to be involved in the final last world empire, of course, the Antichrist is going to come. And that's where you get the goat and all of that. And it's going to be quite a study. I hope you'll enjoy it. Is this interesting at all? We're not really getting into the... How many of you think it's going to be something to study? Okay. I'll try not to get too tied down. History is kind of... You just got to wade into it. But it gives us a foundation of knowing this isn't just somebody writing about something. Cyrus, his name of the Medes and Persians, right? Cyrus? But anyway, his name was prophesied 210 years. And exactly what he would do before he was born, 210 years. So God is always exact. Amen. Always exact.